This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
As usual, either Chad or Kevin can answer. All right, so we have that instance where maybe the body of one of these creatures was skinned, or two bodies, and we were not able to find where they are. And this is true with all these monster cases. We have people who are certainly serious, certainly dedicated to what they're trying to do, but it's the same thing. We can never get that final bit of evidence to nail it down. What do we do about that?
Keep in mind, too, Gene, that after a Wendigo was killed, no matter whether you cut off its head, got it with tallow, whatever means you wanted to kill it, there are many, many more. The first thing you would often have to do is burn it. And burn it so nothing remained of it. And then bury the scattered remains as far apart as you can. Otherwise, the spirit of the Wendigo will simply wade out into the woods and wait for its next victim. So even if there was somebody up there, the establishment, the law, that was interested in these cases, oftentimes the evidence, or maybe the lack of evidence, was gone through the cremation of the body. And remember, these settlements where a lot of the Wendigo sightings and killings occurred, they were hundreds of miles from any other settlement. The mounted police that went to arrest people for killing what they thought was a Wendigo, they went to these tribes who had never seen a white person before. So these were secluded areas with no medical facilities and no law whatsoever. So a lot of the evidence, if it was there, has been lost to history.
Yeah, I could see that. For our show, we tend to talk about UFOs a lot. I got an episode, of course, I have to ask you guys this question, same question I ask Bigfoot hunters and cryptozoologists, anybody else that might be involved in any aspect of the paranormal. You've been to a lot of places and looked at a lot of different weird kinds of phenomena. Have you noticed any kind of a correlation between these weird places and creatures that you're looking into and the prevalence or of UFO experiences or abductions or sightings?
I can take that one. So the short answer is yes, we tend to see these things in clusters. Is it something that's unique about the land itself? You know, is it one of those window areas that John Keel refers to? Things definitely seem to happen in, at least in more frequency in certain zones. The Wendigo legend in particular, it tends to follow where people were encamped more than anything. I mean, again, this legend spans such a huge area of land that the clusters of incidents tended to be where people were. I think that's the number one factor, at least in Wendigo sightings and cases. You know, if there's no one there to see it, no one's going to report it. And this is wilderness. You know, this is vast, vast amounts of land where people are clustered or where you're going to see those things. But generally speaking, I think with paranormal, and Chad and I, you know, our last book is The Wendigo, but we look into all sorts of things, all sorts of topics. And over the years, we've kind of arrived at the same conclusion, or at least same inclination, that a lot of researchers that have been doing this for a long time, that, you know, a lot of this stuff that's incidents of high strangeness, you know, might all have a common source. What that is, you know, we don't really know. It's fascinating to think about, but I'm a firm believer that reality is far, far stranger than what we commonly accept it to be. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Chad.
If you look at the case up in War Road, Minnesota, Roseau, that I referred to earlier, of the Wendigo being spotted by the Native peoples and Jake Nelson, one of the things in Jake's journal, he reported that oftentimes the Wendigo creature would be accompanied by a bright ball of light. and they believed it was a will-o'-the-wisp, the swamp gas, but it would often appear directly with this creature as though it was accompanying it. That wasn't obviously in all the cases throughout Canada and the U.S., but there are a couple cases where a mysterious light was with the creature, whether it was an anomaly in itself or something of a larger pattern. And one of the things Kevin and I talk about quite a bit is just how much of this lore has been lost. Even people who were collecting it in the early 1900s, they would run an article about the creature being spotted without any details, never talking about the size, the color of its skin, did it have a smell? None of the important details that you would think somebody would be interested in. So I firmly believe that we've lost so much of the lore of the Wendigo throughout time. It's really a shame because I can't imagine how much more was there.
Well, thanks to you guys, you're bringing it out and making it accessible to people. I think that's actually, I guess depending on how you look at it, a really good thing. Because it represents a cultural aspect of our world. And I think that it's important that we preserve those kind of cultural beliefs, at least on record. Not necessarily that we hang on to them, seriously hang on to them. Like, okay, I'm not going to get, say, a vaccination anymore because of some religious belief. Like, we don't want to go that way, but we want to definitely go the way of, well, if strange things are happening to people, and they do, and it goes back into their history and their lore, yeah, we need to preserve that. So this is really kind of important. It's not just another monster story.
Exactly. Like, one of the things that drew Chad and I to the Wendigo legend in particular is that it's so unique to North America. You know, everyone knows vampire lore, werewolf lore, you know, trolls, fairies, what have you, you know, all these things that originated in Europe. But the Wendigo legend is distinctly North American. And as I said earlier, it has its origin with the Ojibwe and the Cree and the Algonquian people. But over time, the legend has become kind of Creolized as new people would arrive into the land, you know, as the French fur traders moved into Northern Canada, as the Native Americans and First Nation people had contact with Hudson Bay Company, you know, they started getting exposed to legends of the werewolves and things from the French. And you had this cultural exchange. And so when that happens, you see the legend of the Wendigo subtly shifting over time as well. In some accounts, it's sounding a little bit more like a werewolf, you know, and there's even some accounts as early as the 1830s. Where they're saying one of the ways that you kill a Wendigo is with a silver bullet, which, of course, we know is werewolf lore. And so you have this back and forth cultural exchange, and that's what we find so fascinating, because you can literally see these contact points between the two traditions and the two legends, and then it kind of merging together at certain areas and certain places.
I just hope someday we do get to resolve some of this. Now, we've been talking about Wendigos so often here. We haven't gone specifically into ghosts. And obviously, if you're doing all these travels around your neighborhood there, you're getting quite a few stories. Can we segue into some ghost lore?
Yes, of course.
Certainly.
Okay, so we've seen the ghost reality shows, where they sit there and suddenly the ghost phenomenon appears. Has that happened with either of you?
This is Chad, and for me the short answer is no. Been to thousands of these places, and sometimes oddities will happen. I've had people that believe they're psychic or intuitive come with me, and they believe they've been pushed or pinched by these spirits. Sometimes you'll catch weird mist or fog on your camera or something that wasn't visible to the naked eye. But for me, the overwhelming majority of times I'm at these places, nothing out of the ordinary happens. You know, so many people that I know that were doing this as long as I've been doing it or even longer that have never had an experience, they burn out on it very quickly.
Now, we only have a few segments left on this episode of the PowerCast, but we've got lots more with Chad and Kevin, because they will be back on this weekend's edition of After the PowerCast. After the PowerCast is an exclusive feature of the PowerCast Plus. For more information on subscribing, point your browser to theparacast.plus. That's theparacast.plus. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than 2 decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Anyway, we're continuing with our guests, and we're going to do a little bit of ghosting here, okay? Let's ghost. Chad and Kevin, go ahead.
Obviously, ghosts are everywhere, apparently, with haunted places. And out of all the reports I receive from people of UFOs, crop circles, out-of-body experiences, sea serpents, the overwhelming majority of people want to tell me about haunted places or cursed places that they can go and have an experience. And as I mentioned earlier, the best way to decide whether or not you believe a lot of these legends is to not, you know, just read about it and listen to it, but read about it, listen to it, and then go and explore it for yourself. So I'm amazed at how much legend tripping has really become a staple in the United States of people going to these places with an alleged supernatural reputation, hoping that something will happen.
Yeah, I guess so. But it doesn't happen all the time. And the thing is when you're into this field, you tend to think, well, wow, you know, the world is filled with all manner of paranormal phenomena. It shouldn't be that hard to get out there and find it. And yet there's this sort of lack of real serious evidence for people. There's a lot of anecdotal evidence, but across all phenomena, whether it's UFOs or hauntings or Bigfoot or Wendigo or Skinwalker or something, it's all connected by this lack of evidence, if there is anything to connect it. And yet it seems to also at the same time be perfectly real. So what does that kind of tell us about the phenomena in general? I mean, it to me, it's as if it's playing kind of like a game, like Christopher O'Brien's trickster phenomena almost on us.
I think that's right. I think what we're dealing with, whether it's ghosts or UFOs, what have you, I think that it's something's going on that is far stranger than what we would most people would commonly believe. You know, whether they have a common origin or not, we don't know that. But I think that the reason that certain people have these experiences, you know, and they're, you know, convinced that these things were objectively real, whereas someone that might have been standing right next to them may not have seen anything. You know, so how do you explain that? I mean, we know that observation and things, you know, can be flawed. You know, just look at some court cases and things. So is there something about the way that we perceive the world and reality that is more subjective than objective? One of the terms that I prefer was used by the author Patrick Harper in a book that I highly recommend called Daimonic Reality. It's Daimonic. He uses the term omnijective, where something can be both real and unreal simultaneously. It's kind of hard for a lot of people to get their head around, but I think that the reality of how we experience the universe is a very strange thing. And I don't think that there's thousands and thousands of hoaxers out there or people that aren't telling the truth. I believe a lot of people have very odd experiences, but are they really what they think they are? They might even be even stranger in you know, than what they think that they're perceiving.
Well, on your website, which is at Backroad Lore, it says your theories are unconventional, and I like unconventional. So what is your theory? What's your favorite theory about that then? I mean, yes, the world, I have to agree, is weirder than most people with sort of your, in scare quotes, normal view of the world. There's a bigger, larger picture out there. And what is that then to you? What encompasses that? What is it made of? What is it filled with?
So this is my personal belief. And again, Chad and I have been doing this, you know, for over 20 years. And we have noticed that amongst a lot of our peers and people that have been doing this a lot longer, they all start kind of arriving at similar conclusions, that a lot of these things are far stranger than what they initially thought when they first started researching them. And, you know, some people throw around, you know, words like quantum and think that these things can be picked up on, you know, gadgets and things like that. But the longer I do this, the more I think that this is kind of outside of science as far as what we've developed so far. I don't think that we have any gadgets or gear that can detect or capture these experiences, because To quote one of my favorite authors, Lon Milo Duquette, he says it's all in your head. You just have no idea how big your head is. And that's always resonated with me. You know, it's like, what really is reality? You know, how interlinked are we with our environment and just our whole perception of reality? You know, like if I look at a chair, you know, I see a chair because I associate chairness with that chair. I know that it's something I can sit in, that it's manufactured, whatnot. If a caveman looked at a wood chair, he would have no concept of what a chair is. He would just see an odd configuration of firewood. You know, so it's really how we look at things in our world and what our brains are trained to decode them. You know, like how you know, whether it's our traditions or how we grew up and our experiences, you know, we're all kind of trained to decode things in a certain way. And I think we're only getting a slim fraction of what's really out there. You know, we have five senses and that's it. There could be all kinds of other ways of receiving information in this cosmos, but we're limited to five, maybe six.
So maybe what we see as some kind of creature, a Wendigo, whatever, or a UFO or any of these things, if we could perceive or have an awareness, that would be gained by another 50 or 100 years of experience and scientific discovery, we would have totally different answers to what these mysteries are caused by.
Exactly.
Okay, that even raises the bigger question here. I guess it's part of the traditional argument about UFOs specifically being spaceships. Maybe they are spaceships. Maybe there is a phenomenon we haven't figured out yet that we'll get a handle on 50 or 100 years from now, just as maybe 100, 200, 300 years ago, we had totally different interpretations as to what these things might be. And certainly in our modern era, with UFOs particularly, calling them spaceships, well, it's part of our culture. So what will the culture teach us about the rest of this stuff? But then again, that creates the question, maybe it's all culture. And that's it. And that raises so many other questions. We have two more segments to spend with Kevin Nelson and Chad Lewis exploring ghosts and creatures and other good stuff. A reminder, we're running a sale. And I know if you are a subscriber to Paracast Plus, we don't give you the network commercials. So just put up with this 40% savings and more for a Paracast Plus subscription that gets you the version of this show free of the network ads and the After the Paracast podcast and other goodies. Go to theparacast.plus. That's theparacast.plus for more information with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump is urging Minnesota officials to get tougher with protesters. He says by doing that, they would be honoring the memory of George Floyd, the African-American man who died after being pinned to the ground by a white policeman. It's another day of demonstrations in Chicago and other cities. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti is imposing a curfew.
Everybody has to be responsible for owning this moment. Whether you wear a badge or whether you hold a sign,
I'm asking all of Los Angeles to take a deep breath and to step back for a moment.
Federal investigators have some clues about the protesters. Attorney General William Barr.
The voices of peaceful protest are being hijacked by violent radical elements.
Investigators are pointing to white supremacist organizations and far left-wing extremist groups as being responsible for some of the violence. This is USA Radio News. At the Kennedy Space Center, it was all systems go.
2-1-0. Ignition. Liftoff of the Falcon 9 and Crew Dragon. Go NASA. Go SpaceX. Godspeed, Bob and Doug.
NASA astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley have made it safely into orbit in the Crew Dragon. SpaceX is now the first privately owned company to fly humans to the International Space Station.
On behalf of the entire launch team, thanks for flying with Falcon 9 today. We hope you enjoyed the ride and wish you a great mission.
Thanks, Paula. Congratulations to you and the F9 team for the first human ride for Falcon 9.
Latin America is poised to become the next epicenter of the coronavirus pandemic. Brazil has 465,000 cases confirmed and 28,000 deaths. Meanwhile, in China, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention said they've ruled out the wet market in Wuhan as the place where the outbreak started. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
When we talk about After the Paracast, by the way, that is the show that comes with your subscription to the Paracast Plus. Sometimes it's extended interviews, like we had more time to spend with Kevin D. Randall last week, and this week are two special monster and ghost hunting guests. Kevin Lee Nelson and Chad Lewis will be back, or they'll be back. They'll be right back for After the Paracast, to check out the Paracast.plus. Anyway, guys, so the question raised in our previous segment was about cultural phenomena, and you're looking at monsters, werewolves, and ghosts. Do you think if you were around 100 years from now, any of that would make any sense, and maybe we'd be seeing something totally different?
I think it really goes back to perception and context. You know, 300 years ago, if you saw a little green man in the woods, you'd call it a leprechaun. Whereas today, if you saw that same green man or had the same similar experience, you might think it's, you know, a Martian. You know, it's really the context and what we've been taught and how to interpret these anomalous events, I think. You know, in some of these cases, you know, where is it a nuts and bolts craft, you know, versus ultra-terrestrials and more other things of high strangeness, or even in the Bigfoot case, you know, you have the big divisions between flesh and blood and spiritual Bigfoot. A lot of these things, I think, are just how we define them. And also, there's nothing that says that they can't be both. You know, like some of these experiences could be a nuts and bolt craft, where there also could be phenomena that sort of mimics it, but is definitely not nuts and bolts. Same with Bigfoot. Maybe there is some kind of, you know, hominid that is existing in a small pocket of the Pacific Northwest or the Canadian Rockies. But The idea of one being in Pennsylvania, that's a bit more of a stretch. So it might be a similar phenomena with a very, very different cause or source.
How can we tell which is which?
That's a great question. I think that that's one of the hardest things to be able to determine. My first thought would be is, well, how strange is it behaving? You know, like you've got those cases where a Bigfoot boards a UFO. You know, that's very strange. But we can only gauge what's truly strange by our own experiences or our assumptions. We really don't know what normal is, you know, out in the cosmos or in different dimensions.
But Chad, for you, when you were talking about these creatures have been seen with these glowing orbs, and then Kevin, like you're saying, we've seen Bigfoot being associated with UFOs. If we were to look at the UFO as the common denominator, and we look at the types of powers that these alien creatures seem to have, it seems that they would be capable of conjuring up any of them. For what purpose exactly, I'm not sure, but I mean, I can imagine. I mean, this Wendigo almost sounds like, you know, there's something you'd hear about on the X-Files where some alien comes down and it's got some alien virus that infects somebody and causing them to metamorphosize into this Wendigo creature. It's really quite bizarre.
And that gets back to human perception. My background's actually in the field of psychology, and I did my master's thesis on belief in the paranormal, whether it relates to human perception or our belief systems. That gets back to, as Kevin alluded to earlier, you can have four people in a car experience something, and they might have complete different descriptions of what appeared to them. So does it then go back to the idea that these things can project different images, and not talking like a screen memory where all of a sudden instead of seeing grays in your bedroom, you see 4-foot talking squirrels that are thought to be a screen memory implanted. But in terms of can it project, or does the mind pick up these things different from different people? And as Gene was talking earlier, that may be something in 50, 100 years, maybe 20 years, we solved that question, but right now it seems like we have zero idea.
Well, we do know that even with our own technology, things like EM frequencies can cause people to have paranormal experiences. If you are familiar with the work of Michael Persinger, that sort of thing, we know that EM fields are associated with UFOs. UFOs seem to be a common denominator in a lot of these types of sightings and from hauntings around the world. Like I was saying, we tend to ask this question to people, and they always inevitably go in some way, shape, or form. It's always there. Now, if you can make the mind of a person experience whatever you want, that would really go a long way toward explaining things like Kevin was saying, how one person can see one thing, another person sees something completely different. You know, if we have this common denominator that is an objective reality that is able to manipulate our minds or project things or has anti-gravity, all of these things are possible. Every single phenomenon we can think of can be explained by some sort of alien manipulation.
In our previous book, before the Wendigo book, Chad and I both wrote a book called The Big Muddy Monster, which is about a white Bigfoot case down in southern Illinois, an area that they call Little Egypt. And we discussed this exact topic in that book because it's one of those strange areas of the country where a lot of things cluster together. And one of the local researchers that lives down there, his name's Jim Jong, he's passed now. But he wrote a book called Weird Egypt. And in that book, he explored, like, what is it about this area that is making people have so many experiences? You know, like ghost lights, Bigfoot sightings, UFOs, you name it. And what he was finding is that because Little Egypt is so close to the fault lines down there, I mean, the whole ground down there is fractured like a shattered eggshell. And he had a hypothesis that maybe a lot of these sightings of a whole spectrum of phenomena, ghosts, whatever, might be happening along these fault lines in the ground, because these are where electromagnetic bursts are occurring because the ground is under tremendous pressure and occasionally it releases this energy. And so he started mapping out where various sightings of UFOs were, or like known haunted houses, things like that. And he started creating what he called anomaly corridors. And he was focusing primarily on Carbondale, Illinois, which is where he lived. And then he took that map and overlaid it with known maps of where fault lines exist through the area, and they lined up almost exact. And
wow.
So, yeah, it was it's such a fascinating subject. You know, like, but the problem is it the energy that is making us hallucinate, or is it the energy that is actually making us see something that's there that we can't normally see? You know, this kind of real or unreal, you know, hallucination versus new ability, so to speak.
I'm fascinated by the fact that so many of these things overlap, that when you are at a place, maybe talking to a witness. For instance, the last time I was at Loch Ness in Scotland trying to get Nessie reports, I ended up receiving more people seeing UFOs than the Loch Ness Monster. And you find that quite a bit when you don't specialize in one field only. If you're open to it all, you may be talking to someone about a haunted story and they say, well, this might not be related, but have you heard about the creature that's reported at the farm as well? So a lot of these things seem to blend, like these areas are portals or paranormal beacons that somehow attracts or projects all these different phenomena across the whole spectrum.
Well, maybe we're making some progress after all, because it sounds like you just put in a very, you explained it. You put in a general explanation there. Then we have to kind of ask ourselves, guys, like, okay, well, what is it that's doing the projecting then? What is it that's causing it?
We have some things to project. And then we'll project one more segment. And remember, by the way, that Kevin and Chad will be here for After the Paracast, too, this week. More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Frontsight, America's gun training destination.
This is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
This is getting more and more interesting, and we're going to continue this discussion on After the Paracast with our guests, Chad and Kevin, and that is these strange things that go on and our perception of them and where they might go. What about collective unconscious, guys?
Well, I think it's a definite possibility. You know, people talk about the anima mundi, you know, this whole world soul concept. Like, how are we as humans all linked? Or not even just humans, you know, like just life on Earth or life in the cosmos. You know, are we basically just ripples in the same ocean? You know, I don't want to get too new agey here or too out there on philosophy, but if you look at the universe as one thing, you know, maybe those divisions between things are very arbitrary, that are, they're just ways of distinction for our brains to make sense of the environment around us as a survival technique, well, probably more than anything, you know, just so that we don't go mad. But like, what if all the divisions between everything really are just kind of, you know, suggestions? You know, they're just kind of there, our way of interpreting reality, whereas in reality, mind, consciousness, matter could be intertwined and all interconnected. We really don't know. I mean, it's interesting how a lot of research that's being done now is starting to mimic or be very analogous to what shamans and magicians have been seeing.
In what way?
For instance, things being interconnected in a way like quantum entanglement. That's what we'd call it today. But if you were 600 years ago, they would call it contagious magic. You know, how something can affect something at a distance, you know, even though it's not technically having any kind of cause and effect relationship going on. You know, just the fact that this, or they call it the doctrine of signatures. Like if you have a leaf that has five petals or five parts to the leaf, that's somehow analogous to a person's hand. That five is that linkageness or that sort of visual similarity. And so they might use that leaf, you know, for curing or cursing or whatever, because it symbolizes the hand of someone else.
Right. That's come up throughout history. So you'll have something red in that would be sort of good for your blood, like beets are good for your blood sort of thing. But that is all so totally fascinating. But then, Chad, do you kind of balance Kevin a little bit when he gets, you know, way off on, say, that left side there with, but hey, we've also got footprints. We've also got people who see this thing with their eyes, and we understand optics and how our eyes work. And most of the time when we see something, it's because it's really there.
What I love about our discussions and research is it goes back and forth, and neither of us are diehards in theory where we won't budge. I think after all this time, a lot of it, at least for me, I'm left with more questions than answers. So I'm always looking for a new perspective to explain some of these things. It was a similar way. About a decade ago, I was lucky enough to strike up a friendship with Jerome Clark. And I remember many years ago sitting in a hotel room with Jerry in his hometown in Minnesota. I was lecturing there, and we were having a few cocktails, and Jerry was just coming to his experience anomaly theory. And I remember being very fascinated with his thought at that time that these things happen, but they don't happen. They're there. They're not there. And that's always intrigued me. And I think one of the foundations that both Kevin and I subscribe to is the fact that we certainly don't have all the answers or any of the answers. And we're always open and approach these cases or legends or lore. We're trying to sort fact from fiction, but allowing us to go wherever the evidence or lack of it brings us forward. We're not stuck in our preconceived idea that it has to be a flesh and blood creature or that it's something ultra-terrestrial. So I think that's what really benefits our work in quite a different area than a lot of other researchers.
So you guys would say you're fairly like-minded then and able to do some really friendly point, counterpoint, talk about it without going, hey, you know, getting all heated about it like some people do. No, it can't be this way. It's got to be that way.
Not only that, but also our interests are so broad that one of the best things of this partnership of working with Kevin is that all of a sudden I'll get a text from him saying, oh, I just was reading and I found out that hobo lore, or I'll text him and say, you know, lumberjacks used to put their boots, hang them from a tree when someone died so it would mark their grave. And just all this back and forth of weirdness, not necessarily the strict paranormal of UFOs, ghosts, and cryptids. You know, it could be anything, as I mentioned, from hobo lore to circus, carnival, folklore, all this stuff. Because for me, when you're dealing with the weird, what is too weird? Where do you draw that line? A lot of times people tell me stories that at first glance they might seem to be very, very weird and too weird to believe. But if I would have cut that off, I think I would have missed a lot of folklore and legend.
I would definitely back that up. I think what makes Chad and I really great partners and co-authors is we're both fairly level-headed people. You know, we consider ourselves open-minded skeptics. You know, we're not hardcore believers. The other side of that, too, is we're not just like one topic people. You know, we meet a lot of people in the field that are, they know everything inside and out about a topic, or Bigfoot's their thing, or UFOs are their thing. Chad and I, if I had to say it, I would say that mystery and wonder is our thing. You know, when we first started this, you know, when we were younger, we thought, yeah, maybe we'll try to prove things and try to find some evidence. You know, we were only focused on evidence. As time moved on, we really started changing the criteria of what we're looking for. And now, instead of looking for evidence, we're more looking for experience and a sense of awe and wonder. One of the places that we go to, it's like you can't help but just be impressed or affected just by the atmosphere of being there, knowing the history, knowing what took place there, that sort of thing.
There's a couple of places where people can find your content. Chad is at chadlewisresearch.com. You and Chad are at www.backroadslore.com. I got to say, both of your websites are really well laid out. They're easy to navigate, good, clean designs with a variety of books that cover your adventures across several states. The photographic artwork for year two guys' bio page is really good, too. That is real artwork there. Who works with you guys on this? I just have to ask.
It takes a lot of work to make Kevin look as cool as me, so I pride myself in that. I'm a natural. I mean, I just point and click, and it looks like it's been done Hollywood. But Kevin, it takes a little more work on.
What I like about you guys is the fact that you're so modest.
It looks really good, whoever's doing that. It's got to give that, you know, like a plug to your person who does your photographic artwork there. Good stuff.
Tell our listeners where they can find more of the stuff that you do.
Go for it, Chad. Obviously, you can find us on our websites, but the best way to find out more information is to find the weirdest legend you ever heard of, go out there, and most likely that's where we'll be.
Well, that makes it easier to locate you guys. Look for really, really wacky stuff. We're kind of wacky, too, but the places you find us are simple. You find us on Twitter. I know there's a big debate about Twitter right now, but we're not involved. We just post announcements about the shows. There are debates about Facebook. We just post announcements about the shows and have a little chatter. Most of the chatter is in our forums. We also have branded merchandise, stuff with different kinds of Paracast logos. If you're interested in checking out our selection, which includes shirts in any conceivable size for any normal person, from small to uber large, go to the Paracast.shop. That's the Paracast.shop to visit the official Paracast shop. And we've got, of course, the After the Paracast podcast, that special extra show for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. Go to the Paracast.plus for more information. We give you an enhanced version of this show free of the network ads. And we also have extended interviews on After the Paracast, plus color commentary, and you never know what's going to happen. So this week we've got our two guests. We've kind of convinced them to come back to join us, Chad Lewis and Kevin Lee Nelson. Tell us more about their studies of weird things. And we're not going to ask whether Kevin's beard can be compared to Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top. No beard stuff here, guys. Thank you both for joining us on the Paracast.
It was a pleasure to be here. Keep an eye out, guys.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.